broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. This is our news and information hour. On the line with me here. Not on the line.
In a studio.
In the studio is Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Oh, by the way, behind me, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, let me just give you a look at this picture that's behind me. Well, wait a second. I did the wrong. Here is the picture that's behind me. This is a picture, the one that I talked so often about, of Ken Anderson and, of Ken Anderson and a guy by the name of Keith Grady, I think, who was a rookie with the Pittsburgh Steelers at the time. And this was the famous photo I was talking about of Ken Anderson getting his head pulled almost 180 degrees around straight back. Now, as I look at the photograph again, you can see that his head is not quite 180 degrees pulled back, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, well, it looks like the back of his head is where his face ought to be.
Yes, the back of his head is where his face ought to be, which is not where your face ought to be.
Yeah, but you can see, like, it ain't totally around the back because that's like his ear.
Well, what it was it was pulled. You know, I can actually turn my head that far, but I think the cameraman caught it just before it was a full 180-degree yank. Because he did have to leave the game with strained neck muscles that could not have felt good. So that was that photograph that we put on our website. I don't know why I keep obsessing over that. What's my problem?
I don't know. What is that?
I don't know. It was a photograph that I remembered. And then I said, gee, I remember that photograph. Where is it? And then I couldn't find it. But, of course, all I had to do was send out the word on Twitter and elsewhere, and I got it. All right, our top story, Jennifer Aniston is gaining weight.
What?
I don't know, but I mean, why not? She doesn't sound happy about having to shoot down celebrity buzz about her personal life, but Jennifer Aniston is setting the record straight. Jennifer Aniston gave Britain's Hello magazine the lowdown, saying, "Rumor number one, I am not planning to get married anytime soon. This ring that I'm wearing is not an engagement ring. I've been married once, and I don't know if I'll get married again, but I can tell you that at this very moment, as of today, I have no plan to get married. Got that? Question mark." And she was grabbing the guy by the lapels and screaming into his face, and he said, "Yes, Mom, I've got it." Then she continued, "Okay, and rumor number two, hey, you, hey, come here," she said. "And rumor number two, no, we're not pregnant. It's just I quit smoking, so I've gained a couple of pounds. All right, maybe more than a couple of pounds. All right, so maybe my ass is about six axe handles across. What's it to you, you limey gay man," she said. So, not pregnant and not getting married anytime in the near future that I'm aware of. You see? Question mark? All it takes to get the truth is to ask me. But Hello Magazine said, "No, that's not good enough for us, Miss Aniston. We still are going to float some lies and rumors about you because it's much more fun and what our readers expect from the rumor mill. Thank you, Hello Magazine." Usmagazine.com notes that as recently as the summer of 2010, yoga-loving Aniston was a pack-a-day smoker. Do we think she's quit? Not on your life. And her ass proves it. All right. No, I don't know what...
What part of that was true?
It's all true, and she was talking to Hello Magazine in Britain. She was pretty butch.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like she got run up in that guy's face. I mean, whoever the reporter was.
Well, she's obviously tired of having these rumors about her life and about her, and she's tired of she's just tired of having a life. I think, you know.
Yeah, well, she's probably not wanting. She didn't want to have people think her butt got big on account of. Ditch like Kirstie Alley. Remember when they did that?
Oh, man. The Kirstie Alley, if you saw the picture of her, did you ever see the time she was trying to put the burrito down?
Well, I saw it. I mean, those are very unfortunate. Those are terrible pictures to publish and terribly cruel.
No, but the burrito shot's what we're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know any burrito shot.
Oh, man. You didn't see the time she had the heel of her hand on the end of a burrito and she's like, ah.
Yeah. Like, you can't get a burrito in deep enough? God, man, why don't you call up probably Roto-Rooter and they can rooter it down?
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, and I didn't see any picture where she was using the heel of her hand to shove a burrito down her throat. God.
Yeah, she did.
I did see some photographs that were very cruel. And
well, would it be cruel, man? I mean, if she's eating like that and she's living like that, why can't they have a picture of that?
I think that, there's no rule. It's, I guess you can if you want to. But it just, you know, people go through these periods. It's too bad, I guess, as a celebrity, if you have a period of where you're having a tough time controlling your weight, it's just too bad that there are people lurking around every corner with a camera, because Kirstie Alley, there were some pictures taken of her that were just unbelievable, just like Marlon Brando.
Yeah, Marlon Brando one time, he went and got toilet paper. He had a big picture and everything.
Yeah, the guy, they had him, what'd they have?
Yeah, he was buying, like, or I think he was buying maybe 100 rolls of toilet paper, like he never, he needed all that to wipe his butt or something.
Yeah.
No, he didn't, man. It was a picture of him out in front of a Costco or something.
Yeah, but he's buying toilet paper.
I don't know what he was buying, bud. What is it with you guys? What is it with people, man? Why do we love to see the imminent downfall of fit? What is it about Americans? And this is not a unique thing to this age. This is something that Charles Dickens himself, who you guys don't know who he is, right?
Well, yeah, didn't he do
was it Oliver Copperfield?
No, Oliver Twist.
Yeah, David Twist. David Copperfield.
David Copperfield, Oliver Twist. Charles Dickens wrote, when he came to America, and he was here in the 1850s, he, even then, made note in a book he wrote called American Notes. He said, one thing about Americans is they love to build their idols up just to tear them down. This seems to be something, it was unique to the American character, enough so that this writer from England, Charles Dickens, made note of it. That we love to build up our heroes just to tear them down. It might be, back then, it might have been a function of our recent emancipation from the monarchy, so that we could just sort of toy with this kind of civilian celebrity and monarchy. We could just toy with a regular citizen king and queen and then just pull them down. And we've inherited that instinct from that generation of Americans. And it's changed over time, but we still have this basic instinct that as soon as somebody gets big enough, we decide, okay, pull the plug. And just watch them fall, you know.
I don't know. I don't understand any of that.
You start talking like that, man, you lose me too.
Okay, well, that's fine. But the good news is that you guys kept your mouth shut through all of that and let me actually say something instead of you, bud, butting in with something like, what do you mean about this?
I didn't say nothing.
I know. I'm thanking you for that. So how did we get on this? Oh, yeah, fat people. So I think that the Kirstie Alley photographs and the Marlon Brando photographs are unfortunate, you know.
Who's another fat guy?
Yeah. Tell us about fat people you've known.
Fat people I've known?
Well, no, not known, but like that was in the news.
Well, Orson Welles was a big story.
Who's he?
Orson Welles was a movie director and an actor, but mostly a director. He was best known for a movie he did when he was in his 20s called Citizen Kane. He was only, I don't know, I guess 27 or 28 when he made it. It is considered to be a great American film. Like so many so-called great American films, there are a lot of people wondering why. Not a lot of people saw Citizen Kane when it first came out. I suppose over the years a lot of people have seen it. I've seen it. I think it's a fine movie. Is it the greatest movie I've ever seen? Of course it isn't. But then again, neither are some movies that were recently made. So it's a good movie, but it sort of made Orson Welles' reputation. And he's also the guy, bud, you'll like this. He did a radio broadcast once where he said Martians were landing and some farmers believed him.
You kidding? It's kind of like what you do.
Sort of. But he did War of the Worlds on the radio.
Yeah, I heard about that, man. People thought a Mars man landed. They're going to go try and shoot him.
You're kidding me.
No, man, they did. And they had farmers coming out with a shotgun.
Yeah, there were people that thought Martians had landed.
That's bitching. So what happened?
Well, it made the news the next day, and people were, oh, wow, Orson Welles with the radio broadcast, Martians. And that was it. And they introduced some new rules saying that you have to disclaim shows more often. They actually did disclaim that broadcast. That's people who don't think that they did are wrong, because they did say that this is a, you know, a presentation, a dramatic theatrical presentation, blah, 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 boom. And they did this whole number, and it sounded real enough to some of the people in listening. that they went out and got their shotguns and they were waiting for a Mars man to come and eat them up.
Yeah, that is so great. Did they kill anybody or did they shoot nobody or anything?
No, they didn't shoot nobody, right?
No, they didn't shoot anybody.
Did the cops shoot anybody?
No, the cops didn't shoot anybody. What happened was is just a lot of scared people called. And I think they got a photograph of some farmer coming out from around a barn with a shotgun. So that was the picture that everybody remembers of the... that was Orson Welles. He was really fat. There was a singer when I was a kid named Mama Cass Elliott.
She's the one with a ham sandwich. I remember about that.
She choked on it, right?
No, that's bullcrap. That never happened. And that's another one of those really nasty things that people started because somebody didn't like her. And they decided to, say something nasty. She didn't choke on a ham sandwich. She died of some kind of an ailment. She was a young woman. She was heavy. But she didn't go the way they said. And it was a very unfortunate thing to say. You know, I mean, that's that her legacy, her life is tainted by some stupid rumor like that because somebody didn't like her.
I don't think, man, but I'm just telling a joke.
I know, but it makes her sound like she was a fat pig or something.
Well, wasn't she?
No, man, just because she's overweight doesn't mean she's shoveling a ham sandwich into her puss morning, noon, and night.
Well, I didn't say that. You could still choke on a piece of lean, thin ham or something.
Well, she got some lean ham, like fatty ham.
What about fatty ham?
If you don't cut the fat out, man, you choke on a lean piece.
Yeah, I got your lean piece.
Shut up, will you? You guys are real asses, you know that?
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, when you're making fun about somebody dying, don't start making jokes about how they choked on a ham sandwich. That woman, Mama Caselli, she was a great singer. She was in a great group. And her legacy should be much more respectful than that. But for some reason, somebody decided to float a rumor about her choking on a ham sandwich. They thought it was funny. And so now, how would you like that, bud? How would you like it if somebody said that you died with a gerbil wedged?
You're lying about that.
Yeah, I'm going to stop that rumor.
No, you're not.
Yeah, look at you, man, getting all upset about that, huh?
Well, it's not true.
Well, neither was the ham sandwich. So watch what you say about people, man, because, you know, they may start saying the same things about you. Bud Dickman dies with a gerbil wedged.
Better not.
I'm not going to say anything, but you can see how those things hurt.
I'll bet it hurt, man. You'd have to probably take a... Shut up!
All right. We'll be right back here. 877-876-PHIL. This is our news and information hour. And the latest headline, Bud Dickman dies with a gerbil... I'm joking. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all of you who are so inclined. If you go over to our website, you can check out the live video that we have going right now of our show. It is our live video cast, and we also have, of course, hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, thousands of hours of archived audio. God, how I wish I watched the World Series, man, because I just don't.
Yep.
And I know you guys don't either, so don't tell me that you do.
I watch football.
That's what I watch. I'm not watching baseball no more, man. I used to watch baseball all the time. Baseball used to be, well, I played it in school, and the Dodgers were my team, and I was a baseball fan, but I don't watch the World Series anymore. It bores me to tears. Baseball bores the hell out of me. And that's where that's at. St. Louis Cardinals manager Tony La Russa leaned back against the wall outside his office on Tuesday, closed his eyes, and still couldn't let it go, replaying the scene over and over. That will go down in my house of horrors, La Russa said. Cardinals' blown communication on the bullpen phone in Game 5 of the World Series resulted in the wrong relievers warming up and entering the game and played a role in the Texas Rangers turning a 2-2 tie into a 4-2 win, leaving the Cardinals trailing 3-2 in the series. That's something that's never happened to me before. Never, said La Russa, who has managed in the majors 33 years, ranking third on the all-time victory list and second with 68 postseason victories. I guarantee you it'll never happen again. Now, there's a guy. How many times have you heard me say in the last several years, that's never happened to me before in the 30-some years that I've worked in radio?
You said a lot.
Right. And I bet you guys thought I was... Here's a guy, 33 years. This guy has been in the major leagues. He's managed in the major leagues for 33 years. And a first for him happened in this, the 33rd year. They didn't communicate properly with their bullpen. Now, you would think that that's a basic thing in baseball, but stuff happens. Only in this instance, it cost him a World Series game.
That's like Tommy Lasorda going, it's yesterday, it's a different... Or it's almost said the F word.
Yeah, watch it, bud, okay?
Yeah, they can dump it.
I don't... Hey, whoa, hold on.
Yeah, you know, we get upset, and they can hit the dump.
Whoa, hold on for a minute. That doesn't give you guys carte blanche to say any word you want because somebody's on the dump button. You understand?
I didn't mean to say it.
Then watch your language. Anyway, yeah, you're right, miscommunication. But the Tommy Lasorda thing you're talking about is completely different. That's him pulling a pitcher from the game. That's not a miscommunication.
Yeah, the miscommunication, we put him in the game in the first place.
Maybe. Anyway, right-hander Octavio Dotel opened the eighth inning but gave up a leadoff double to Michael Young. La Russa said he immediately called his bullpen and said, get the left-hander going. Have the right-hander Mott play catch. So he wanted his left-hander, Mark Repchinski, up and going. He wanted that lefty throwing, and he wanted the right-hander catching, his right-handed pitcher catching, Jason Mott. The bullpen coach, struggling to hear over the crowd noise, heard Repchinski, but he didn't hear the thing about Mott. I shouldn't have paused between the requests, La Russa said. There was too long a pause there. So they brought in the wrong... reliever, or no, the Dotel struck out Adrian Beltre for the first out, and the Cardinals pitching coach Dave Duncan ordered him to intentionally walk Nelson Cruz. La Russa went to the mound. He brought in Repchinski to face left-handed outfielder David Murphy, but La Russa never looked out to the bullpen to check if Mott was warming up. He retreated to the dugout and he said, get Mott going. Does anybody understand this?
No, I understand it. Mr. Hall's going to call.
What do you mean Mr. Hall's going to call?
Because you don't know what you're talking about again.
Yeah, I don't understand either. You're making it boring, man.
What do you mean I'm making it boring?
You don't even know what you're talking about, man.
Get Mr. Hall's on the phone.
You know something? You called him up, didn't you?
No, he didn't call me up. I called up as soon as I heard you butchering that. You don't even know what you're talking about, so why are you even doing that story?
I thought I knew what I was talking about.
You thought you knew what you were talking about. You can't even pronounce the names of these pitchers.
Well, you tell me what happened.
I don't know what happened. I didn't watch the game either. You're right. Who watches the World Series? Nobody. Only baseball fans, and even they don't get it. Something happened where they brought the wrong guy in. That's fine. That's fascinating. So what? You'd have to be a stone baseball fan to care.
Well.
Move on to something else, will you? Every time you get... What? Yeah. Yeah, give me a bottle of Diet Coke, will you? Every time you get on these topics.
It was a baseball story, so I thought I should do it.
Well, don't do it if you don't know what you're talking about. And you don't know what you're talking about, so don't do it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling me up and embarrassing me, okay?
I just heard you ripping the guys because the levels were wrong. So I'm ripping you. Do a better story. In fact, I don't want you doing any more baseball stories because nobody cares about baseball. You don't know how to talk about baseball. I don't want to hear about baseball. Bud and Robert don't know how to talk about baseball. Baseball is only liked by baseball fans, and there's fewer and fewer of those every year. So just don't do any more baseball stories, and you'll be fine.
Well, what if something really, you know, exciting happens?
Don't do any more baseball stories, and you'll be fine. Haul out.
Haul out.
Yeah, that's what you've been saying lately.
Haul out. All right, no more baseball stories. That's fine with me. But if anything really interesting happens, which I, well, maybe it will, I don't know. So there's a rain delay. So that's the World Series. All right. We had a discussion about the riot squads that were clearing the streets in Oakland, California. They've also cleared the streets in Atlanta. Overnight, the scenes in Oakland were chaotic with officers firing tear gas and beanbag rounds over 3 hours as protesters tried to reestablish a tent camp outside City Hall. that had been evicted from earlier. Officials complained about what they described as deteriorating safety, sanitation, and health issues. Acting Police Chief Howard Jordan, told reporter, I wanted to read Howard Johnson because of the...
Hotel.
Exactly. Howard Jordan told reporters at a late-night news conference that authorities had no other choice, saying the protesters were throwing rocks and bottles. So they took a PR-24, busted some heads, and got them off the street. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Eight seven seven eight seven six. Phil, welcome back here to our marvelous, marvelous show. And here's a really funny thing: a woman's walk reveals how frequently she has orgasms during sex. Now, I don't know really whose business that is. Do you?
Well, what about like a guy?
What do you mean, like a guy? Whose business is it how many orgasms a woman has during sex? Now, some guys may get off on the information, but if you really want to be, and that's what young men do. You know, a guy, if you're a kid, you, rather than, you know, being sexually active with a woman, which maybe they're not, they want to guess how many orgasms a woman. So this is information that, like, young males would want. Trained sexologists, if that, in fact, is an actual pursuit, can know the history of a woman's vaginal orgasm just by observing the way she walks, according to a new study. Trained sexologist. What's that?
That's somebody... That's, you know...
That's what?
Study sex.
I don't even think there's such a thing. I think it's some stupid-ass title that some people give themselves. Maybe some therapists or psychologists, you know. So they can know a history of a woman's, quote, vaginal orgasm just by observing the way she walks. You understand we're getting into terms here? I'm not even sure I'm allowed to talk about this stuff on the air.
Well, you're into it now, man.
Might as well keep going.
The study led by Stuart Brody of the University of West of Scotland. Here goes another British study. These Brits, man. In collaboration with colleagues in Belgium, that really doubles it up. Was carried out on 16 female Belgian university students.
That cinches it right there.
Yeah, so you've got Belgian and Scottish scientists and Belgian women. That can only mean one thing. All the results are bullcrap.
How do you know?
I don't know. I'm just guessing. I'm making a joke. All right. The participants completed a questionnaire on their sexual behavior and were then videotaped from a distance while walking in a public place. Are you kidding me? The videotapes were then rated by two professors of sexology. This has got to be a degree that you get in Britain. And two research assistants trained in the functional sexological approach. See, this is a bullcrap story if I ever heard one, man. It was found that the appropriately trained sexologist could correctly infer vaginal orgasm through watching the way the women walked over 80% of the time. Also, on further analysis, it was discovered that the sum of stride length and... First of all, folks, I don't even know that I can actually read this on the air without having some radio station use it as an excuse to drop our show or to have some other ass bother me about the content of the show, right? That's number one. Number two, I don't even think the science exists that they're basing this on. Number three, this is from a news source called News Commando, which I've never heard of and which most likely sucks. Number four, there was a major news source for this, the Chicago Sun-Times, but the individual that sent me the story said, quote, it was too poorly written to use. That's probably because they wrote it properly, meaning they didn't cite a whole lot of the information because it's questionable information. Number four, again, the science is from Great Britain, which, when it comes to this kind of stuff, the science is always questionable. Number five, Belgians. Okay. I'm just kidding. All right. So anyway, so these guys are sitting there watching these women walk, and they realize how many orgasms they can have, you know?
Well, how do they know?
I don't know. They're trained sexologists, so they must know what the hell's going on. They are trained in the functional sexological approach to sexology. The functional sexological approach to sexology. Who had no idea about the woman's orgasmic history. Well, how about that? It was found that the appropriately trained sexologist could correctly infer vaginal orgasm through watching the way the woman walked.
Yeah, you can tell that way easier.
How?
If they walk bow-legged.
Another, what do you mean if they walk? Get out of here if they walk bow-legged.
Well, I mean, he's got a point.
No, he ain't got a point. Over 80% of the women walk bow-legged. I mean the... over 80% of the time, on further analysis, it was discovered that they were full of crap and they didn't know what they were looking at. They'd been drinking too much.
Slapped on a beer goggle.
They had on beer goggles, and every woman looked like she was multi-orgasmic. No, it was discovered that the sum of stride length and vertebral rotation was greater for the vaginally orgasmic woman. You understand when they say vaginal orgasm, they're just talking about one kind. There's another kind.
What kind?
I'm not going to say. I'm not a doctor, and if I start talking about orgasms, you know.
You start talking about orgasm what, man? A lot of guys want to know what you know, Henry. Now, come on, man.
Shut up. No, I can't. And the other thing is that this is stuff that you can only talk about if you have Dr. Drew sitting with you, man. And Dr. Drew, he ain't about to make the trip over to our studio anytime soon.
You can get another doctor or something like that.
I ain't going to do any of that. What do you think this is, Loveline? I ain't going to do that, man. I'm not going to be the second guy to rip off poor man. Anyway, besides vaginally orgasmic women may feel more confident about their sexuality, which might be reflected in their gait. So in other words, a woman who has a great many orgasms walks with a purposeful man-like stride. Swinging her arms and just, yeah.
Is that what it said?
No. But I mean, that's what it sounds like. It's like the chicks that are having a lot of orgasms. It's like, hey, what's up, man? Walking down the street. Anyway, blocked pelvic muscles, which might be associated with psychosexual impairments, could both impair vaginal orgasmic response and gait, Brody said. But then Brody, who was also the sheriff of Amity when the shark attacked and is now a sexologist because he didn't get eaten.
Really?
I'm kidding. What do you mean, really, man?
No, man. You think that guy exists?
Well, that, I don't know.
Yeah, Sheriff Brody quit and became a sexologist in Scotland. Brody, after shoving that canister into the shark's face, blowing the shark into sushi, swimming back to shore, quitting, divorcing his wife, and moving to New York, picked up a hooker and lived with a stripper, and then moved to Scotland and became a sexologist. That's what I think Sheriff Brody did, by the way.
Wait, what? He blowed the shark up.
Yeah, I know he blowed the shark up. But I think after he did that, he swam back to shore and he said to his wife, you know what? Screw this. Screw all of you. He threw the badge on the mayor's desk, right? Got into his car and drove back to New York and packed whatever the crap he had there and moved to Scotland. Did you ever read the book?
What?
Jaws?
No, why?
Good point. There is no reason. In the book, and I may be blowing something for people, but in the book Jaws, the young marine biologist played by Richard Dreyfuss has an affair with Sheriff Brody's wife. So in Peter Benchley's novel, there's this whole sexual relationship between Sheriff Brody's wife and the Richard Dreyfuss character in the movie that didn't happen in the movie. And why did it not happen in the movie? Because it wasn't needed in the movie. It would have been a needless distraction in the movie. It wouldn't have made any sense in the movie. It would have made all of us throw up in the movie. And it probably would have ensured the failure of the movie. Do you imagine that? Richard Dreyfuss, what is that about? But the book was heavier and a bunch of other BS. But I think probably in the book, Sheriff Brody should have just paddled back to shore and said, by the way, you slept with my wife. Actually, what he should have done is fed... What's the guy's name?
His name was Hooper. I remember the captain quit. Hooper!
Yeah, Hooper! Get me another barrel, Hooper!
Yes. I think in the movie, Captain, what the hell's the guy? Brody, he should have, after the shark ate Captain Quint, Brody should have said to Hooper, oh, by the way, Hooper, you're having sex with my wife? You're next. And then head first right into the shark's mouth.
Get a shark and a snack.
Yeah, there's something else for you, shark. Great. This guy that was sleeping with my wife. Only you don't see, like, remember when Quint went in feet first, the only thing you see dangling out of the shark's mouth are Hooper's boots.
Man, that ain't funny.
No, it's not funny. It's not funny at all, but it's not supposed to be funny. It's supposed to warn Hooper. Anyway, the study has linked vaginal... Are we back on this vaginal orgasm? The study has linked vaginal orgasm to better mental health. The study provides some support for assumptions of a link between muscle blocks and sexual function, according to the authors of... Bull crap! There you go.
Buck, come you don't have an open mind about that, man. You're really kind of a prude about that.
Yeah, I noticed that, man. Why?
Prude about what?
About talking about stuff like that.
I just don't understand why... I'm telling you, man, the obsession that we have with sex is way over the top. It's way, way, way over the top. And we have taken so much of the fun out of it. We've taken so much of the joy out of it. Everybody's an expert. And a lot of people, what I find, there's a lot of young men especially, they use sexual prowess or sexual conquest as a alternative to actually going out and doing something with their life. In other words, if they're screwing a lot of women, if they have sex with thousands of women, somehow that's an accomplishment. That's an achievement, you know?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean that all they do is have sex with women, and the next thing you know, they don't have a life. You know, they're just a slob doing nothing with their lives. So I think that there's nothing wrong with being a man, and there's nothing wrong with being a woman, there's nothing wrong with sex, but sex, as in the act, is fun, but people running their yaps about it all the time is really a turnoff. Just blah, 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 you know, about this, that, and something else. And now we're supposed to know how many orgasms, a vaginal orgasm, that is, that a woman has by the way she walks. And Bud here thinks it's all you got to do is see if she walks bull-legged. I ought to belt you just for that.
I didn't, just a joke.
Yeah.
Well, how do you think a woman had a lot of orgasms? That thing said she walking purposeful, all that.
Yeah, that study made it sound like if a woman walks like she's a dude, she has a lot of orgasms. This stride, she's got this big, long stride. All right, I'm on my way down to the, store today. All right, we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more in our news and information hour. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. We're giving away a free month of Phil coming up at the end of the month. And if you'd like to listen to a free sample of our radio show tomorrow, you can listen to the stream of our show at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, our news and information hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And this is really disturbing. Five New York Police Department officers smuggled firearms and slot machines they thought were stolen, and some even used bolt cutters to pilfer hundreds of boxes of cigarettes from tractor trailers as part of a 12-person theft ring that was under federal surveillance the entire time, according to authorities on Tuesday. Three retired NYPD officers and a New Jersey corrections officer are among the other defendants named in a federal criminal complaint alleging an undercover agent paid them more than $100,000 to moonlight as gun runners while under FBI surveillance. Let me say that again.
Yeah, it sounds like they were paid to be under surveillance.
Now, three retired NYPD officers and a New Jersey correction officer are among other defendants named in a federal criminal complaint alleging an undercover agent paid them more than $100,000 to moonlight as gun runners while under federal surveillance. Okay. So, in other words, they were stung. Three current officers are also participated in a brazen theft of cigarettes they were told were worth $500,000. Mayor Michael Bloomberg has long targeted illegal smuggling of guns into the city and said that if the accusations are true, the officials engaged in a disgraceful and deplorable betrayal of the public trust. The men were eager and willing to smuggle the weapons and commit other crimes so long as the price was right. U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara said at a news conference...
What is that?
It sounds like he's an Indian American. It's P-R-E-E-T, Preet. Sounds Indian or Thai.
I ain't never heard about that.
Oh, give it a rest, bud. It's a cat's name, okay? Preet Bharara.
Preet Bharara? Sure his name ain't Pete.
No, it's Preet. P-R-E-E-T.
Yeah, they're probably going to make it Pete, though.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, make it Pete.
No, he doesn't want to make it Pete. He doesn't want to anglicize it, okay?
Well, he should.
I'm not going to talk about it right now. Preet Bharara said at a news conference announcing the arrest. What are you making a face now?
Just don't understand it.
Get out of here. Announcing the arrests. Arresting fellow law enforcers in a corruption case is a heartbreaking thing, he said. The arrests come amid speculation that other NYPD officers could be facing less serious criminal charges in a separate investigation of ticket fixing in the Bronx. Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly said the new case involving officers assigned in Brooklyn has no connection to the Brooklyn probe. He also defended the reputation of America's largest police department. The defendants were to appear in court later, yada, yada, yada. They say every 20 years there is a scandal in the New York City police. And I'm telling you, I believe a new one has arrived, because they had in 1950, there was a big scandal in the NYPD. I forget the name of it. In 1970 was the Serpico thing. In 1990, there was another one. It might have been the police brutality allegations. And now here we are 20 years later with something else. And I think you know what I think is wrong with the New York City police? And not that it's a bad police department. I think it's a great police department with a great tradition. And certainly in the last 20 years, they've cleaned that city up to the extent I don't think a lot of people thought they could. To turn New York City into a tourist destination that is family friendly, where you can walk with your family at 1 o'clock in the morning through Times Square, where you can send your kids out to get pizza at 10 o'clock at night onto Times Square and not fear for their safety, is a pretty remarkable thing, because Times Square was not always like that. So, I mean, I commend New York for that. But I think the police department there is too big.
What are you talking about, man? They got 8 million people.
I know they got 8 million people. But they're going to have to use fewer cops, I think, because I think the larger the police force, the more guys can get into trouble. And I think lines of communication is important. I think the more direct line of communication the regular police officer on the street has with a police chief or a police commissioner, the better the force. I don't know how I would go about making this happen. I just think that it's too big of a force. It's too unwieldy. I don't know how many cops they got in the NYPD, Robert?
I don't know, man, but like 30,000.
30,000?
Yeah, I think it's that big.
30,000 cops? You're kidding.
I think so. I don't know.
That's big, man. That's a freaking... L.A. only has what's L.A. got? Like 4,000 cops?
Yeah, but L.A. ain't big as New York.
Well, it's still a big damn city, Los Angeles. What do we got? 3.5 million people here. New York's got 8.
Yeah, that's twice as big.
Well, they ain't got... They got 3 times the cops. So I'm telling you, I think that they got too many cops in New York, if you want my honest opinion. I don't mean that from the standpoint of there's too much, police presence. I don't mean that at all. I'm talking about how do you control and use effectively fewer men and women for the policing effort and the enforcement effort that you need in a city the size of New York. Because the 30,000 cops, man, that's a lot of stuff's going to get lost in the mix. I don't know. Court papers described this informant, and they used an informant in this gun smuggling. He was a non-U.S. citizen who's been assisting the FBI in exchange for payment and aid in remaining in the United States. One of the police officers involved, William Masso, a New York City police veteran, was interested in making money by transporting stolen goods. An 18-year New York City police veteran, William Masso. In the months that followed, the informant and an undercover investigator posed as the ringleader, began supplying the defendant and others in the case cigarettes purportedly stolen out of state for resale. And then this guy Masso recruited younger officers from his Brooklyn precinct to join the smuggling ring. So, like I said, every 20 years there seems to be something going on in the city of New York.
What was that thing on Goodfellas?
What do you mean, what thing?
Yeah, they said when they had the in the airport.
The Lufthansa raid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real, that actually happened. That was Lufthansa Airlines, a German airline. And those guys actually did get in there, and they ripped off, I don't know how, what, $6 million worth of jewels and money and stuff. See, so that was...
That's a scandal, too.
No, that wasn't a police scandal. That was just a big crime that was committed. The police weren't in on it. The police scandal before that was the Serpico police scandal, which was the police officers taking payment from bookies and basically police officers taking payoffs and bribes. And this one cop, Frank Serpico, would not take these payments and eventually was shot in some, what they think, in some retaliatory episode where the policeman, his fellow officers, didn't come to his assistance when he got shot. All right, and on that very happy note...
Yeah, I'm going to go watch Serpico now. Yeah, me too.
All right, well, I'll be in and watch it with you guys. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night here, we have our producers, Dan Northcraft, Fred Scotty, Chris Johnson, and me, Phil Henry. Join us on our website at philhenryshow.com. Watch the live streaming video of our show every night on Phil TV in HD and get our downloads. And also, with a BSP, get a backstage pass. Plus, tomorrow, check out the rebroadcast on a stream of our show. So you can go to our 5-day archive and listen to the show streaming for free.
Woo!
Until then, this is Phil Henry for all of us at the world famous Phil Henry Show. Good night. See you tonight.
Phil Henry.